You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Natalie Kerry, Chris Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio. An afternoon of jumping to look forward to with national hunt meetings at Carlisle, Ludlow and Southwell. We've also got all-weather action in the evening from Chelmsford City. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you, Marco. I look forward to listening tomorrow then, the Pin and Rory in the same shoe. It's a bit like chalk and cheese, isn't it?
It is a little bit,
in
yeah.
terms of styles, and that is, you have to keep them under control again. Yeah. That won't be easy.
There's the boxing adage, isn't there, where styles make fights. They've got quite contrasting styles, so I wonder if it'll turn into a fight.
You could just guarantee this is what the Pin always does. Rory will fancy something quite strongly. The Pin will dismiss it, and he will pick the winner of said race. It's just how it works, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The Pin just seems to have a bit of a knack of doing that.
It's all his speed figures. He's got them on his iPod.
Well, if you only get out what you put into this game. So I'm told.
Yeah. Fair enough. Bit of things to chat about before we get stuck into Thursday's racing. One of the big last hurrahs of the flat season is the Racing Post Trophy. We've got quite a well-backed favourite as well in the shape of Foundation, who's 4-5 now at the top of the market. Deauville 7-2, 7-1 for Johannes Vermeer. Tony Curtis 8, 10s for Shogun, and 12s or bigger for the others. Do you think the John Gosden runner should be quite that short?
Probably not. I think we discussed this yesterday on Tuesday, as we're recording this now on Wednesday. But probably not, but I just wonder. Not 100% sure what's going to line up against it just yet. I think bookmakers are just running scared, to be perfectly honest. And you know, there's a bit in this in the paper today. But the Royal Lodge winner, I mean, you know, he's beaten almost everything that's in there already. John Gosden thinks it's a silly price, but I don't know. You know, it's a long old season for some of the horses. End of a long season, some horses dramatically improve from. From one run to another, and we'll see how he gets on. I wouldn't back him at 4-5, but he's the most likely winner. But you wouldn't be rushing to back him at current odds, especially not knowing 100% what's going to turn up for the gig yet.
Also, decent flat card at Newbury as well. On Saturday, anything caught you?
Jumping, man! It's Cheltenham.
That's where I was going to go next.
I haven't even looked at Newbury. I could not care less.
So, judging by those comments, you've already got your flat cap on, and well, being a Yorkshireman, you're not. So I don't know why.
Whoa! I'm not from Yorkshire.
That's what I said. You're not. So anyway, you changed into jumps mode already, then?
Very much so. Well, the flat season's finished.
Finished on Champions Day, apparently.
I don't know what we're in no man's land. I don't know what this new market meeting is just before we record this podcast today. What's all this about? We're racing on the turf. We're in no man's land, as Ken and the Wizard would have said yesterday.
Yeah.
So, but Cheltenham on Friday and Saturday looks good, and we got the Old Roan Chase to look forward to on Sunday at Aintree. Part of a very good card there that's got a decent veteran chase and a very competitive handicap hurdle. And the 3 mile one handicap chase at Cheltenham on Saturday looks as though it's going to be a bit of a belter. So some fantastic racing to look forward to over the coming days. There's a bit on the flat. Don't really care about that, to be perfectly honest. So we've got the jumpers and some of the better jumpers coming out. That 2 mile handicap hurdle at Cheltenham on Saturday looks like that's going to be a good race.
Yep.
And Hidden Cyclone and John Spirit could clash in that 2 mile chase at Cheltenham. First race on Saturday, 50 grand handicap. I've not looked too much in depth on the Friday, but there's plenty of Irish runners coming over for the meeting as well. So, always an informative meeting. That novice chase, I'm sure, will be pretty good at Cheltenham on Saturday too. So, exciting time of year.
It is. It's the time.
And we all get an extra hour in bed on Sunday.
Yeah, even better. You get an extra hour in bed, you wake up and you've got the old roan chase at...
Belton.
At Aintree. Fantastic.
Belton race.
So, very much with the jumps game in mind then, Gary, anything that you're really looking forward to seeing now or anything on the shortlist?
Well, we've seen the these stable tours in the Racing Post, which are always a fantastic read, and they started this week. And funnily enough, today, there's a feature with Gordon Elliott. I've got sort of two Irish horses that I'm really looking forward to seeing this year, and I should imagine they'll hopefully both be going over fences. One of them is No More Heroes, who is mentioned today in the Gordon Elliott's section of the Racing Post. Obviously, he was pretty progressive last year, winning on his first two starts for the season over hurdles, and then he ran the Albert Bartlett, and not with a lie, I thought he was giving a shocking ride. I think he's going to make into a smashing novice chaser. I backed him before he ran at Cheltenham for next year's RSA chase. I think he's just got that shape about him. He's a real grinder, the type of horse that you really need to be successful in the RSA chase. So he's one that I'm looking forward to. Now, I'm not sure if the other horse is injured. I'm hoping he isn't. I haven't read anything to the contrary. So the other horse I want to mention is Alpha Days Obo, who was another horse who ran at the Cheltenham. He didn't run at the Cheltenham Festival. He ran at the Aintree Festival and was going quite close in the Grade One 3 mile hurdle there, but he was rather fired into the last by Dickie Johnson and he fell. He was going to go very, very close on that occasion. Prior to that, he'd finished second behind Duvan at Punchestown over 2 miles, I think, and he's another horse who was always going to be better the further he went. Just wonder whether that fall rather sort of unnerved him a little bit. He still ran a cracking race at Punchestown to finish second behind Nicholas Cowan, but he was beaten a fair old distance. But the ground was good to yielding. Whether that sort of maybe unsuited him, I'm not entirely sure whether he wants it maybe a little bit softer or a little bit quite tacky that day, which probably didn't suit him perhaps. So he's another horse that I'm looking forward to seeing Alpha Days of Bow. I'm not sure what sort of targets he'll have in mind. Mouse Morris trains him, so he's another horse, but there's plenty. I really need to go through my tracker and have a good look, but there's a few of them that are going to make appeal as much better horses this year, whether it be over fences or whether it be over the smaller obstacles, sort of horses that Ken has given a positive to, and thinking, oh, he'll make a much nicer horse next year, etc., etc. Or just from my own point of view, horses that I've looked at and thought exactly the same. So it's exciting time of year.
It is. Interesting news over the last couple of days as well about Vator, who apparently is going to be aimed at the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And just looking at the betting, I'm quite surprised to see that he's 4-1 market leader at the moment for the Gold Cup. Coney Gree 8-1 with Don Cossack. Don Polly another one at 8s. 10s for Jack Adam. 14s for Road to Riches. And 16s are bigger for the others. You don't sound convinced then?
No, completely would be against him at that price for the Gold Cup. You couldn't fail to be impressed with this horse at the Cheltenham Festival when he absolutely bolted up to win the JLT. Probably one of the most impressive performances from a novice I've ever seen. But he can be a little bit too exuberant in his races. He jumped well at Cheltenham, but in a Gold Cup, not very often, he's not going to be unpest. He's not going to get a soft lead, let's put it that way. Especially if Coney Gree turns up for the gig.
Yeah.
Those two could just turn it into a right stamina test. And funny enough, I've already backed Don Poley for the Gold Cup at 16s. He's a horse that obviously won the RSA chase. He's disappointed at Punchestown after that. Could have been over the top. But he's just a horse who is so much suited to the rigours of a Gold Cup. I mean, we saw last year, amazing horse Coney Gree is to do what he did to that field and as a novice maintain that gallop all the way to the line. The speed figure that he produced, remember Andy saying, was fantastic. But I'm looking at this market now for the Gold Cup from an anti-post point of view. I respect Vettori. I mean, obviously, he's going to probably run at the in the John Dirk, and one would imagine, I didn't see that Rich Frinchy interview, but the King George will be the early season target, which is fine. But 3 miles round Kempton is completely different from 3 1/4. The extended 3 1/4 round Cheltenham, albeit he's obviously won on the track that the Gold Cup is held on by winning the JRT. But if I'm looking at the market now, I think Rich Ritchie's other horse, who was second in the race last year, Jack Adam, is the better price currently at the moment at 10 to 1. A horse we know definitely stays. He's only had a few starts over fences as well. I mean, the performance he put up when winning the Thyestes chase on the top weight was absolutely incredible. I know people will say disappointed in the Hennessy earlier in the season, but he wasn't ready for that race, and that was something that Ken very strongly suggested ahead of the race too. And he'll be turning, I think, 7 by the time the Gold Cup runs rolls around. Willie Mullins has, I think, had 4 or 5 seconds in the Gold Cup. I mean, you look at his...
it's the one thing missing from Willie Mullins' record.
It is,
really,
but if you look at the horses he's going to be running in the race this year, you know, your Vettori's, your Don Poley's, your Jack Adams. I'm sure there's one or two others that I probably missed out there as well. He'll go very close to rectifying that, I'd have thought.
Yeah. At the festival this year, you saw Don Poley win on the Wednesday when he won the RSA chase. You thought, oh, that's a chaser for next year for the Gold Cup. Then you had Vettori winning the day after. It's like, oh, that's a chaser for next year. And then a novice goes and wins the Gold Cup as well in Coney Gree. Mm. It was one of those years, wasn't it, last year?
It was. Of course, we're a long way from the festival, and I suppose it's just the nature of jump racing. I suppose it's highly unlikely all those at the top of the market will actually make it there, unfortunately. Let's hope they do. But yeah, exciting times ahead. Let's hope they all make the gig.
Yeah, hopefully so. We'll leave that there anyway. Plenty more to talk about the jumpers as the weeks and months go on, I'm sure. But let's get stuck into action a little bit closer to home. We're going to go through 4 races on Thursday, and Gary's going to give us his selections on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at some of the racing at Carlisle. One race from Ludlow and one at Chelmsford City as well to finish off with. So we start in the 3:25 at Carlisle, which is a intermediate handicap chase, handicap hurdle, sorry, over 2 miles and 1 furlong. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 7 here, Gary, and Sheer Rock arrives here on the back of a hat-trick, so probably the one to start with.
Very much so, yeah. This horse has really got things together over the summer and most recently at Fontwell. Obviously, he's won his last 3 at Bangor, Market Raisin and Fontwell. Obviously, he's edged up the weights, the consequence, but he's a horse in rude health. Charlie Longsden has got a fantastic record up at Carlisle, and Richard Johnson, obviously riding the crest of a wave at the top of the Champion Jockeys race. He's got to give weight all round. But, you know, he's a horse vastly on the improve. Hadfield is an interesting runner. The John Ferguson horse, obviously a winner at Worcester on his hurdling debut. Then finished second at Perth in a juvenile contest. Interestingly, pitched into handicap company so early in his career. Obviously, he gets a lot of weight from Shearock, and they're actually only rated a pound apart. So, technically, there probably actually shouldn't be, you know, too much between them, considering he's getting £16 from Shearock. Different ball game this, though. He didn't jump particularly well at Perth, and he'll need to jump a lot better at Carlisle. For all the I think the track will suit him a little bit better. And the others, well, they are what they are. Well, I don't think they hold any secrets from the handicapper. I mean, Big Indy won at Southall during the summer, but has been a bit disappointing the last twice. So I think it really looks between the top and bottom weight, and I'm going to favour the top weight, the Charlie Longsden runner, Shearock.
Shearock for Gary then in the 3:25 at Carlisle. Moving on to the 3:55 at Carlisle next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 1/4 miles. We'll start here with Courtown Oscar, Gary, who ended last season in good form, winning at Carlisle and then finishing off with a win at Uttoxeter.
He did. I think the market will be key here. But this horse has won his last 2, including here at Carlisle. And then, obviously, when he won at Uttoxeter during the early part of May as well. That was on his chasing debut. Looking in his breeding, you know, chasing was always going to be his game. This is an interesting little race, mind. Mo Rooge wears cheap pieces for the first time. Be interesting to see how he gets on in those. I think he's got potential off his current mark. King Fontaine, obviously we know all about him, form that used to run in the National, this horse. Used to be owned by Chether Hemmings, and Malcolm Jefferson used to train. Had a bit of success in the pointing sphere, has ran okay under rules as a, subsequently. Bit of a jigs running for a new trainer now. He's had a few different trainers. But with Orange Nassau and settled out of court in this race should be run at a decent tempo. Often favourites front runners at Carlisle. Orange Nassau got an OK record fresh. It was amazing to think he hasn't won here at the track before because he's had a few goes and he's finished, from memory, second here a couple of times, including, obviously, on his most recent outing, and he finished second. I think it might have been in a similar sort of race to this last year. It wasn't this race, but it was a similar sort of race around about this time last year. But with those two in the lineup, it would be running at a decent tempo. It'll actually really suit Court Town Oscar, so I'm loath to really oppose him. The market will tell us a little bit more because he has been off the track for a while, but Philip Kirby has his string in fair form, so I will stick with Court Town Oscar in that 3.55.
All right, moving on to Ludlow next for their 4.15. This one is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 7.5 furlongs, or almost 3 miles. Field of six here, Gary. Who'd you like in there?
Interesting little race. Kasbid Ali has won here at the track before, as has J&B, if you go back far enough. Dabinet Moon is another one that's been in fair form of late as well. Victor Ludorum runs for Charlie Mann. Charlie Mann won this race a couple of years ago with Weston King. Butler Grove King won in his most recent outing at Worcester. But the one I'm going to go for, because he's stepping back up in trip, he's another one who's won here before, is Buck Mulligan, who finished fourth on his most recent outing at Utoxa over an inadequate 2.5 mile trip. He goes back up in distance, this horse. He hasn't won for a while. He hasn't won since he won in the summer of last year at Stratford, when he won over 2.5 miles. But he's been keeping some decent company. If we go back this year, some of those recent runs, second at Fakenham, second at Stratford, off slightly higher marks than this. The handicap is beginning to give him a bit of a chance. He fell in behind Kai in a race at Stratford, and that race rather fell apart as a consequence. There was a few fallers in that race. But if you go back, I mean, this is a horse who's been running in some decent handicap races at Cheltenham. He finished second at the December meeting last year. So we know he's won here before. Obviously, he won over this this course and distance. You've got to go back a fair old way, actually, back to 2011, when he actually won a match race, rather, here. That was in Novice Hurdle Company. I'd say he doesn't win very often, but Evan Williams has got his string in fair order. They've all had the benefit of a recent run, which will help from a form perspective, I think. But I want to take a chance on Buck Mulligan being on a going day. I think he's probably the overpriced one, probably the class act of the race as well, dropping down into 0-120 company for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, and he's certainly well handicapped if he can recapture his old form. He won off 127 at Sedgefield in the past. He's won off 119 as well, which is the mark he's on now. So.
Yep.
So yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. Buck Mulligan in the 4.15 at Ludlow then. The final race we look at is the 7.25 at Chelmsford City. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. It's Division 2 of this particular handicap. Field of 9 to go to post here. Gary, who would you side with in that one?
Interesting little race this. Excellent guess. The top weight's been running in some decent handicaps. You'll find this perhaps a little bit easier. Royal Silk won at Goodwood in May. Another one who been running in some, you know, was 8th or 10 in a fair handicap at Ascot when last seen. Mezzo Tint was a winner at Wolverhampton recently and finished 4th. Sorry, ran here, won here, and then was 4th at Wolverhampton on his most recent outing. So we know this one likes the track. Atlantic Affair finished 4th at Windsor when last seen. That was fair form, due to go up a pound as well. That horse in the weight, sorry, come down a pound in the weight as of Saturday. Al's Memory's been pretty consistent all season. Winner at Salisbury on its penultimate outing, finished 4th at Chester when last seen. User Filbert makes its Polytrack debut. The cheap piece has gone for the first time. Finished 12th for 13 when last seen in a handicap at Newmarket. Kellen Brahma, another one that likes it here, but actually finished second behind Mezzo Tint on her most recent outing. Royal Altitude, another one that's making its poly track debut, finished sixth at Yarmouth when last seen. And the Visor goes on Response for the first time. This one finished at sixth at Nottingham when last seen, another one making its poly track debut. I think I'm going to have to stick with a horse that's got previous course form. But I'd actually go for Kallon Brahma of the two to reverse that recent form with Mezzo Tint. That was the Mezzo Tint's first victory in a while. Kallon Brahma's really been holding her form quite strongly. Is drawn towards the inside in three, so should be able to adapt a decent position, hopefully, early on. And we know that she likes the track. So with doubts about one or two with regards to that, they may improve for the pony track as opposed to running on the turf. But I think Kallon Brahma is the solid sort of each way call in what is probably a fairly open race. They've probably been betting three, maybe four to one the field. So I think it's worth sticking with the ones with previous course and distance form. And I think Kallon Brahma might be able to reverse that recent form with Mezzo Tint.
All right, good stuff, Gary. Let's just have a quick summary as usual, if you'll spin us through your four selections for Thursday one more time.
In the 3:25 at Carlisle, the top weight Shearock. In the 3:55 at Carlisle, Corktown Oscar. In the 4:15 at Ludlow, the top weight Buck Mulligan. And in the 7:25 race at Chelmsford, Kallon Brahma.
Good work. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark. We'll do.
There you go. The thoughts of Gary Capewell on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Natalie Kerry, Chris Pimlott and Rory DeLaghi in the studio. Three jumps meetings in the afternoon, Carlisle, Ludlow and Southwell, and an evening of all-weather action on the poly track at Chelmsford City. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.